Well, good morning, church. We, over the past several weeks, have been creating a space for the reading of God's Word. We want to continue doing that. So if you are able and you're willing, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? I just want to read this over you. You can follow along on the screen. The reading this morning is coming out of Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1. It says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the otter's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that we see in this passage. God, as we enter into this Advent season, Father, may our eyes be solely locked upon you. May we look full in your wonderful face, and may the things of this world grow strangely dim, because we can find peace in no other place but in your name. In your precious and holy name, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. As we enter into the Advent season, we'll light the peace candle this morning.
Good morning, good morning. Are you sure? Are you aware? I'm making sure. Welcome. It is good to see you guys, and I am so thankful for the Advent season. If you don't know what Advent is, what that means, let me fill you in for just a moment. Advent means coming, and during this season, what we do between the last Sunday, or I guess it's 30 days, the four Sundays prior to Christmas, is that we prepare ourselves. We're preparing our hearts for the birth of Christ, the coming of Christ. Now, granted, he's already come, but we're celebrating that. Now, we're celebrating his first coming. What we're doing now is we're preparing our heart for his second coming, his second advent, and we long for that. This is one of my most favorite times of the year. I love Advent, and my prayer, I told our team today as we got together to begin to pray for this service, for both of our services, is that, man, I'm asking the Lord to give me an anticipation. I love Christmas morning, but I'm asking him to give me an anticipation that would rival Christmas morning, what happens there for the day that he comes. I'm looking forward to that day. To help us get ready for that, we have an Advent guide. Now, last week, we distributed Advent guides, one per family, to all the campuses, and man, people grab them. They are all gone. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. On our website and on the app, you can open up and download the Advent guide. I would encourage you. There is a family worship guide that's really, really simple. You can walk through that. We would love for you to be a part of that. We'd love for you to join in. So you download that if you didn't get one. And it will help you. In fact, what I ended up doing, because I didn't get one last week, they were all gone. I took it and printed it off so that I would have a hard copy. I'm one of those dudes that needs a hard copy. And so I printed that off, and that's what we'll be using. Before we jump into the message, I want to say this to you. Her name is Brandy Hernandez. Most of you would know Brandy. If you don't know, she's standing at the back. I just pointed her out. She's about to die. Brandy has been our administrative assistant here at this campus and a part of LifePoint staff for a long time. In fact, Brandy and I began working with each other when she was 18, and she came and was an intern in the Brussels campus that my family was a part of. And so we've known each other a long time. She's making a transition off of our staff, going into the marketplace, and will be working within marketplace. So this is her very last Sunday as a part of our staff team. It's not her very last Sunday as a part of this body, but it is one of her last Sundays as part of the staff team. She would be very... She may look at you and go, I don't know. Next week, if you ask her, hey, Brandy, where is this? Just know that, because she won't be working. But we are so thankful for her and all that she's done. She has been she's been a ministry person, not just an administrative person. Her heart beats for ministry, and so we are very thankful. She has left and will continue to leave a thumbprint, a handprint on all the ministries that are here. And I want to pray and thank the Lord for her right now as she leaves out. So won't you pray with me? Father, I'm so thankful for Brandy. I thank you for what she means to my family, Father. I thank you for the friendship that we have, for the work relationship, for the ministry. And so now, God, I'm asking, I know what you have brought her through, and even in her mindset as she's been walking through this transition, I pray that you would give her a peace that passes understanding, that she's made the right step. I know that she believes that now, and that I also know, Father, just the intrepidation of starting something new. So would you give her calm? Lord, thank you for what she has been a part of here, and we look forward to many years of ministry together continued. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen. Before you leave, as you head out somewhere and leave today, would you make sure to go by and tell her how much you appreciate her ministry here and give her a hug on the way out. And she'd be very much embarrassed by that, but I want you to do that for me, all right? It is Christmas time, and it is truly the most wonderful time of the year. I love this season. I love it. But as much as I love it, I know that there are other people who don't like it because their world is upside down. For some reason, these seasons bring back memories, or they bring back difficult situations. There are people who struggle with depression. There are people who struggle with anxiety. There are people who struggle with the loss of family members, and they begin to try to medicate and find peace in other ways. And my hope today, as we begin this series, Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him, as we begin talking about over the next several weeks who Jesus is, who Jesus is. Today we're going to talk about Jesus is our peace, that Jesus brings peace. And so as we begin to talk about that, because, you know, peace does not exist on this earth. I mean, our world is mixed up. It's upside down. You remember last week when we were talking about how it feels like everything's been turned upside down like a snow globe, and then somebody shook it, and everything's crazy right now. I want you to know that we can find peace in the midst of what we're walking through. As followers of Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us, Paul writes, and he tells us that there is a peace that passes all understanding. And I want to make sure that it's really, really clear right here. Peace is not an emotion. Peace is a person, okay? Peace is a person. And so peace is only going to be found, I believe, truly from Scripture. Peace is only found in Jesus Christ and in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you haven't yet downloaded, there's a brand new LifePoint Music song, and we'll sing it later on. It's called Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him. And I say that like it's a little thing. It's not. It is a great, great song. And if you've not downloaded, I want you to download it and listen to it. But in there, it talks about, oh, come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Do you know who the faithful are? The faithful are followers of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who can sing that song and know that there is true peace. Now, something that really disturbs me, I find, and when I say disturbed, I don't mean anger. It's a disruption in my own spirit that there are actually followers of Jesus Christ who have no peace during these days. And I want you to hear, okay? I want to make sure that you hear this. I want to wave the flag today big and bright. Jesus is our peace. And then if you're not experiencing peace today, I want you to hear, Jesus has come for you and for me to experience that. Some of you in here, you can't experience that peace because You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You don't know him as your Savior. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But to those of us in here who have surrendered and submitted our lives to Jesus, I want you to know that it is possible in the midst of what we face today, a world that's crazy, feels like the wheels have all come off. I mean, it's not like it's wobbling. They've come off. I want you to know that there is peace in Jesus Christ. You know, in the midst of this, if Jesus is our peace, well, why do we need peace? Because I want you to hear this. Peace was lost long ago. Peace was lost. And we can't fully understand or grasp why we have peace or how we can have peace. We can't fully grasp or understand why we don't have peace if we don't know how all of this happened in the first place. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to the book of Genesis. Go back to the very beginning, all right? Because I think this is really, really important. Please hear this. As you're turning, I want you to hear. The most important places in the scripture, I believe, go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's the beginning point. It's the beginning point. And if we don't understand how all things began, all of our solutions are going to lead us down a path that leave us continually empty and without peace. You know, most people think that the Christmas season begins with Black Friday, or it begins on the day that Starbucks releases the red cups. I need you to hear, Christmas actually begins in Genesis. It goes all the way back to Genesis. That's where it begins. Read with me in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read 15, 16, and 17. It'll be on the screen behind me, but I do want you to be able to look at it. If you're not familiar with where Genesis is, I'm not condescending here. I want you to know it's the first book of the Bible, all right? I want you to be able to turn over, and I want you to be able to look. Genesis chapter 2, beginning 15, 16, and 7. It says this, "The Lord took the man," that's Adam, "and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." Men, you got a job. You're to work and to keep. God created us to be workers, all right? He didn't create us just to sit around. He created us to work and to keep, to work and to keep. Verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now listen, in the very beginning, what you see here is that God created everything. It was incredible. It was beautiful. The pinnacle of his creation, man and woman, man, he created them and he gave them jobs. He gave them purpose. He says, listen, you're to work and keep. Adam, here's a wife. Here's one like your kind, Eve. She joins you in the work. You have great purpose. Not only did he give them purpose, but he gave them boundaries. Now, for most of us in the world, we begin to realize and we think boundaries mean limits. Boundaries are not designed. I want to make sure students hear this. Boundaries are not designed for limits. Boundaries are designed for life. They're designed to give us life. If you're an adult in here and you've been struggling with boundaries, I need you to know, boundaries bring life. If you don't believe me, think about this. I mean, fish have limits, don't they? Water is their boundary. You get a fish out of the water, what happens? Death happens. Listen, we have boundaries in marriages. We have boundaries in our work. If you're a football fan, all right? If you're a football fan, there are boundaries in football. The game would be no fun if there were no rules, if there were no sidelines. You go out of you don't run out of bounds. You just run to, you do what you want to do. You turn that off. That's chaos. You see, boundaries bring life. They're not limits. They're life-giving. And so what ends up happening here is that all of a sudden, Adam and Eve, they're deceived by the serpent. Now, I want to make sure that you hear me. The serpent is Satan, the adversary, the deceiver, the one who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. they're deceived. And as they bite into the fruit, as the juice runs down their lips, down their chin, perfection is gone. It's fractured. It's over. As a result, you remember what happened? As a result, what ends up happening is they go and hide themselves. That's not freedom. That's not life. They hide themselves. They cover themselves. And eventually they are cast out of the garden. They no longer have access to the garden. When they no longer have access to the garden, they no longer have like walking and talking with God. And as a result of that, the proximity with God is gone. But you know what else happens? Not only was their proximity to God gone, their peace was gone. There was now a wedge between God and man because God is holy and man isn't now. In a fallen state, they're because of sin, because they couldn't stay within life, and they chose death. In fact, the book of Romans tells us that we are all dead in our sin and our trespasses. We, by nature, are enemies with God. That's not life. That's not peaceful. Not only is our proximity with him, we don't get to walk with him, but we no longer have peace with him. You see, people are striving for peace today in all kinds of ways. But what we know is that without God, without a relationship with him, a true relationship with him that is only found through Jesus Christ, there is no peace. There is no peace. Some of you in here today, you're experiencing that. There's no peace in your life. You've tried this, you've tried that, you've done this, you've done that. You've spent. In this season right now, some of you, your credit cards have already started burning like a log on the fire. And I need you to hear me. You will never find peace on a shelf. Your peace will only be found through a Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the only place you will find it. And here we sit in Advent. We're preparing for the birth of Christ. And Advent is designed. It's designed to drive us deeper and deeper and deeper into who Jesus is and why he lives. You realize he lives today. Why he lives today. He lives making intercession for you and me as followers of Christ so that we might have peace, so that we might have peace. Peace with God because it was broken. And I want to hold out hope to you today that if you don't have peace, you feel like you're in a dark and weary place. If you feel like my family's fractured, my personal life is fractured. My finances are fractured. If you feel like the world is coming down around you, I need you to hear. Jesus is your peace. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he is your peace. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, all of these things you've been using to try to find peace with God, this emptiness that's in your heart, that maybe you've put money in there, maybe you've put people in there, maybe you've put something in the bottom of a pill bottle in that. Maybe you've tried to take a bottle and you've poured it in there to try to fill it up. I need you to hear me. None of that will bring peace. Maybe for a moment, and then you wake up. For some of you, it's food, because your stomach has become your God. Maybe for some of you, it's your children. And then when your relationship is fractured with your children, or there's a problem there, there's no peace. It is only found. Peace is only found in Jesus Christ. You're not going to get it through laying on a couch with counseling, though counseling is very important. If it does not terminate on Jesus Christ, there will be no peace. He is our only hope. He is our only hope for having peace with God. But you know what is the great thing? As soon as it was broken, that relationship with God, it's like a light shined forth. Yes, it was a dark, dark moment. Turn over a page or maybe just look to the next page at Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This verse is probably one of the most important. In fact, it is the most important verse, I believe, in all of Scripture, because what God says to the serpent, this is called the proto-evangelium, the very first gospel is what that means, the first gospel. It's like a Christmas carol bursts forth. This is what he says. Genesis 3:15, he says, God is speaking. He's speaking to the serpent, the one who, the great deceiver, the adversary, the one who came to steal, to kill, and destroy your life, not bring peace. This is what he says. He says, I will put enmity, hatred. I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He, speaking of Jesus, he shall bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. Listen, in the midst of a very dark, dark moment, God shines forth the brightest light to say, listen, there is one who is coming. You're in the middle of a mess. I'm sending a Messiah to clean it up. Yes, you're going to bruise him. He's going to go to a cross because of the deception that you, he's going to come to his own people. His own people will not receive him. They're going to put him on a cross because he's going to live a perfect life. Jesus, the one and only Son of God. The scripture tells us in Philippians that he didn't count equality with God, something to be grasped, but he laid it down. He took on flesh and bone. He came. He walked this earth. He lived a very perfect life. He never sinned. John tells us that he said to his disciples, what I hear the Father doing, he tells me, I go do that. He lived a perfect life. They laid him on a cross. He laid on a cross. He was crucified. He was put into a grave. He arose again 3 days later. You see men, I'm going to say this for men. Men, you're working for purpose. You're working for purpose. You're working for purpose. Ladies, you may be working for purpose, working for purpose. It's at your house, your home. You're trying to make ends meet. You're working two jobs out there and at home. Men, you're killing it. You're working, you're working. I need you to hear me. You can't work for what it is that Jesus offers, because he's already done the work. And he offers himself to you today, in this very moment. And he says, I'm holding peace out to you. And the only way you find true, real, tangible peace is to come under my lordship, submit yourself to me, and then there'll be perfect peace between you and the Father. You and God, you will then have peace. I need you to know that God's promises, the promise of Genesis chapter 3, that I'm sending a Messiah, I want you to catch this. That promise that he made is a promise kept. Any promise in this word that you read from Scripture, I need you to know, you can take it to the bank. It's done. You can cash that check all day. Your account will never run dry if you are in Christ when it comes to grace. He gives us peace. That's why he's come. Yet, we do exactly what the Israelites did. They kept trying to work for it and earn it. Nothing's right. I feel empty. They continue to sin. They begin to chase after false idols. Some of you today are chasing after so many things. You're thinking it's going to make a difference. Oh, and it does for about like that. And then we're left empty again. Look at the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It's almost directly in the center. If you get to Psalms, start turning to the right. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, God speaks and he reminds his people of the promise that he made in Genesis chapter 3. He says this to them, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Oh, we are so quick. Let me bring this down. I am so quick to drift away and prone to wonder. And yet Jesus continually holds out peace. He holds out grace and mercy. And he says, you come to me, all you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what that rest is? It is his love. It is his grace. It is his mercy. It is his peace. His peace that he gives to us. I want you to know that when we had no peace, peace came down. Peace came down. This is why I tell you, peace is not an emotion. Peace is a person named Jesus. That when we experience the Prince of Peace, our troubles don't go away. Some of you recognize this. You're walking right now in some bad, bad situations, but you've got peace because you know Jesus will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. Come what may, he will always be with us. So in a world where there is no peace, and we recognize that the only peace that we're going to ever have truly, when we have peace, is peace with God. When we have peace with God, we then have the opportunity to have peace with men. That's number two. Not only do we get peace with God, we can have peace with men. I had the opportunity. Listen, I'm a repeat guy. I think you learn by repetition. So I'm gonna say this to you. You've heard this story before. My wife and I and our kids, we had the opportunity to go to Belgium to help start a church there. And in the country of Belgium, there's a town called Ypres. Ypres was very famous in World War I. And for some of you older folks, maybe you remember the poem, In Flanders Field. In Flanders Field. That's where in World War I, it was a very famous battle site. Well, there's another thing that happened in Ypres. It was December 1914. It was called the Christmas Truce. Battle lines were drawn up. You had the English or the Allied on one side. You had the Axis, the Germans, on the other side. Fighting had been going on. Many people were dead. Bodies laid, literally laid in no man's land. And on Christmas Eve, I don't know exactly how it began, but I do know that the story continues to be told and is a true story, that somewhere along the lines, candles began to be lit. And as one side began to light candles, another side began to light candles. People began to sing Christmas hymns. Allied, Axis, they began to sing Christmas hymns. They begin to come out of the foxholes in the trenches, and they come to the middle. Soldiers bringing out little that they had, trading American cigarettes for German cigarettes. Trading American canteens for German canteens, giving what they had as gifts on Christmas. They began to jointly bury the dead. They began to sing hymns of Christmas songs. They began to kick the European football, and they began to throw the American football. For a moment in the middle of World War I, peace reigned on earth in that. It seems like a pipe dream for us today, doesn't it? In the world in which we live, where lines are being drawn up, you're being grouped off in sections and partitioned. You believe this, I believe this. You're on my team, that team. It may be politics, it could be economy, it may be racial, it could be sexual, it could be any number of things. But the world today is about driving us into corners where it's me against you or you against me. And I need you to hear, that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are there principles and things that we have to look at that we are not all one and united? There's those who follow Christ and those who don't. You're true. I'm not saying that we all come to one belief. My prayer is that we all come to one belief in one God, Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. But I need you to hear me. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, not only do we have peace with God, we have the opportunity to have peace with men. Not false peace. Not false peace. You realize until Jesus returns, we will not have true peace. We're not going to have true peace. But I can tell you this, there is absolutely nothing that perturbs, angers me, is when one brother and another brother, one sister and another sister can't come together and have peace on earth. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be reconcilers one with another. Because Jesus, the peacemaker, the one who came and stood, who laid his life down so that I might have peace with God, also means that I can have peace with men. And that because he had the ministry of reconciliation, I now have the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile with someone, to help others to reconcile also. But in our world today of political this and political that, vaccine this, vaccine that, this philosophy versus this philosophy, I need you to know it feels like, can that really happen? As followers of Jesus Christ, we have no choice but to come together. Yeah, listen, we're going to disagree on this and we're going to disagree on this, especially when it's not explicit in the scripture. But you know what? We can be united as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the peacemaker between me and God and me and you and brothers and sisters. Today, you know what this tells us? Our world situation, that we're not going to get better with new modern philosophies. We're only going to get better when we go back to old promises from Scripture. I truly believe that. I truly believe it. Listen, we live in a G3 world. G3 world is Genesis 3, where the fall happened. When the fall happened, you know what happened at that point? Adam and Eve began to point fingers at each other. She did it. Me did it. He did it. You have blame. You've got shame. You've got grudges. All of that is evident in our own relationships. That should not be, brothers and sisters. That should not be. In Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to have peace with our brothers and our sisters. Do you remember what it says in John 13:35? John 13:35, Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples. How? By the way that you love one another. The way that you have peace with one another. The way that you, as brothers and sisters, reconcile with each other. I want to tell you, for most of you in here, your pastor. When I find out that there's a relationship issue between brothers and sisters or brothers and brothers, you know what my role is? To bring you together so that we might reconcile. So that as we reconcile, the world looks and goes, I thought you hated that person. I thought y'all were against. No, we've come together as brothers and sisters. We are one. And the world says, that's different. That's different. You see, in the world in which we live today, Jesus has come so that he might bring peace. He is the peacekeeper, the peace giver, so that we have relationship, right relationship with God, so that we have right relationship and peaceful relationships, brothers and sisters together. But he also comes for the last one that I want you to see is this, not only peace with God, peace with men, but also peace on earth. But peace on earth. CJ read just a few minutes ago, Isaiah chapter 11, and he read verses 1 through 9. I want to go back, and I want us to look specifically beginning at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 6. It says this, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Folks, listen, the promise made in the garden, the promise that was reiterated in Isaiah, is the promise fulfilled that we're going to see one day. We don't see this today. This is the one day that we talked about last week. This is the one day that we talked about all throughout the book of Revelation as we went through, that one day we're going to see Jesus himself, our peacemaker, our peacekeeper. We're going to see Jesus himself, the new heavens, the new earth. What does peace look like in that day? It looks like what we've just described here. Something that we can't even imagine, yet the prophet tells us this is what it's going to look like when the Messiah returns. He's going to bring a peace to this earth that none of us have ever experienced. In fact, it was a peace that was only rivaled to the original creation in the garden. What began in the garden will take us back to the garden. For some of you, you read this and you think the Chronicles of Narnia and what you saw. Listen, I need you to know that Isaiah is the one who originated this. The Chronicles of Narnia are trying to help us to understand and to see a picture of what that new day, the new earth, is going to look like. And if, church, follower of Christ, this is coming for us. This is something that we will experience. Peace on the earth like we've never seen before. Today, in the midst of what you're walking in, I want you to hear that Jesus is your peace. He is the answer for what you're struggling with. He is the peace that you're longing for. In the midst of the disease that you're in, Jesus is your peace. In the midst of the financial struggle that you're in, Jesus is your peace. In the midst of the family situation that you're in where you think there's gonna be no peace, Jesus can be your peace. He is your peace. In the midst of surgeries, in the midst of disease, in the midst of jobs, he is your peace. And today, I don't know anything else to say to you, but we hold out peace to you. Jesus Christ is his name. He is the one who brings a peace that passes all understanding. Today, I plead with you. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, right here, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, he wants to reconcile you to God. You may think you're okay, but if you've never submitted your life to him, I need you to hear me. There will be no peace. Today in this room, if you're a follower of Christ and your life feels like turmoil, I need you to hear, Jesus came so that you might have peace. Father, I love you and I thank you for today. I thank you for the privilege that you give us to gather together. Father, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to earth to live and to die and to rise again. Today, I thank you, Father, that he is seated at your right hand and he is making intercession for us right now. God, I'm asking today that if there is someone in here who does not, men and women, young teenager, who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I'm asking Jesus, would you save them? Would you open their eyes? Would you take out their heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh? Would you move them from death to life? We know that that is a gift of God. There's nothing we can do for it. We can't boast that we've attained it. All we can do is receive it. And so, Father, would you bring peace to their aching heart? Today I'm asking, Father, that if there's anyone in here who, as a follower of yours, that is in turmoil, I ask that you would stand, that you would speak to them and say, peace, be still. God, we love you and we trust you. We're asking you to do what only you can do today. With nobody looking around, I'm going to ask, maybe today in this room, there are someones, maybe there's a relationship break, and it's time that you reconcile. I'm asking that today you would do that. Would you go to that person, maybe before you leave? Would you call them? Would you initiate a text to say, hey, can we meet this week? Would you be obedient to what the Spirit is now moving in you? Because you know what he's moving you towards? Life. He's moving you towards peace. He's moving you towards reconciliation. Those of you who don't know Christ, this is the same thing he's asking you, to move to life, to reconciliation, to peace. Jesus, only you can do these things. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way today. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask that all around the room you'd stand up.